Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy, you're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house, guest-approved bedding for a season of hosting, top brands and cookware, festive holiday decor for indoors and out, and so much more. Whether you need a new sofa that fits the whole family or a new serving dish that fits your famous sweet potato casserole, Wayfair is the place to go for Black Friday deals on finds to feast. Get festive and get comfortable all season long. Plus, sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home, even the big stuff. And the best part, speedy delivery in time for the holidays. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. Shop early Black Friday deals right now and save up to 70% off, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to Building the Broncos with Nick Kendall and Carl Dummler, Broncos Country's leading draft and scouting analysts. Get on over to milehighhuddle.com to sound off on all things Broncos.
Well, welcome in, welcome in. It is Tuesday night. It's time for an episode of Building the Broncos. I am Nick Kendall out here, still in Colorado, flying back tomorrow, so making do in the small Airbnb, recording outside. We'll see how this goes. And joined us by, as always, Carl Dummler. Carl, how you doing? We missed you this weekend.
Yeah, sorry. I kind of went the other direction. And it seems like everywhere we go, we have to be almost opposite. You know, when I lived out in Seattle, you were in Iowa. Then you moved out to Seattle. I moved back to the Midwest. You come to Colorado. I'm like, I got to go east out there to Chicago.
I think they were worried about their bourbon supply got there again. So the bourbon were making sure Big Bourbon didn't want us together because we might tank the national stock. But it was a lot of fun, and we missed you. Hopefully we can see you there next year. And unfortunately not a win, a pretty anemic, inept. My dad just looked at me. He's like, that was one of the most horse you-know-what games I ever watched in my life. Not a lot to get excited about, but you know, long season to go, and we got David Papa Bear Meckelrath coming in saying, good evening, Broncos country. Nick, Carl, and Deacon Scott, MHH for life, Buckham three times, Denver Broncos for life, believe season has barely started, relax and enjoy the rise. Love it, David. Yeah, it's 0-2. You know, this team might be destined for a top five pick this season, but we still got 15 games to go, so who knows? A lot yet to be written. Unfortunately, the injury bug has really started to raise its head. I mean, I don't know how many times you and I and Scott have talked about, you know, Denver's offensive line last year had unbelievable injury luck, fortune, whatever you want to call it. 99.6% of the week, day one, snap one starters played the starting reps. Well, now you're going to be without, dare I say, your best offensive lineman through the first 2 weeks of the season in Mike McGlinchey for the next 4 weeks after he suffers what has been Mike Garofolo quoted, a significant meniscus injury. So not a tear, gonna be out 4 weeks, but I mean, honestly, a 4 week injury on that knee for a tackle, you might be talking, you know, 4 weeks until he plays, but 6 to 8 weeks until he's back to baseline.
Yeah, I can't remember last year he missed most of preseason training camp because he had an injury, and then he really struggled those first few games of the season and kind of leveled out as the year went on and got healthy and also learn the offense a little bit more. So you're right. It's not just a 4 week injury. It's probably 8 weeks before we really start seeing him back. And I was, you know, we're going to be doing a little bit of a stock report today. I almost put him on my list for stock up other than the injury, kind of took him back down because he had a pretty decent game. You know, TJ Watt, you have to have him in your top three edge rushers in football. Mm-hmm. That guy destroyed in week one. I mean, it was embarrassing. Almost every single play being in the backfield. And we even talked about it on the show of Broncos cannot let that guy take over a game. You have to give McGlinchey some help, and they did.
Yeah.
But even in a lot of his one-on-one situations, he still held his own. So that is definitely a significant loss for the Broncos in both the pass and the run game. I know they haven't got the run game going, but that is kind of his forte, is more the run game than the pass. So big loss. You know, Baron Browning's another one that you lost for at least 4 weeks.
I mean, I don't think there's anything official yet. We've had heard some rumblings about the injury. He had an MRI on his foot today. But I was talking with Chad before the show, and he's like, where did you see the timeline for Browning? We haven't seen any – I didn't see anything official timeline-wise for Browning. And sorry, you guys, if you hear that yapping dog in the background. I'm doing the best I can here. we've heard maybe up to 4 weeks there, but we're waiting for something official there. And with that, Denver did make a move today, bringing in a linebacker from the Chargers practice squad, which also could indicate maybe some concerns with Browning. So can't catch a break, man. The two of the top four most important positions, Browning contract season. We keep talking about how talented and healthy he is. Like, we're really hoping he can have a big year, and unfortunately not happening.
You know, Scott and I got into this conversation last week of who would you rather pay, Baron Browning or Jonathan Cooper? And Scott brought up a great point. You can't pay Browning if he can't stay on the field. He might be the more talented guy, but Jonathan Cooper might be the more valuable player right now just because he can actually stay on the field. He's consistent in both the run and the pass game. And honestly, I'd be saying he's having his best year as a pass rusher. Like, he's making a real impact getting into the backfield. Quite a few plays. He negated a big 50-yard pass because he got a holding call when he was chasing down Justin Fields. And so, you know, he might not put up the greatest stats, but right now I'm kind of leaning towards if I'm going to pay one of those guys, it's probably going to be Jonathan Cooper, even if Baron Browning is the more talented guy. They need him. I really hope he can get back to the field sooner than later, but it's tough to see him every year missing games.
Yeah. And he'd actually been pretty good, I feel, overall in the run game, setting the edge. I mean, the Steelers did not have any runs from the running backs gain over 11 yards. They were, you know, a lot of, you know, death by 1,000 paper cuts with that one, but no explosive runs. And I thought Browning was having a pretty good year. He had some questions about, you know, setting the edge coming in, not, you know, Nick Benito level question setting the edge, but that's probably who's going to replace him now. And that's something that the penalties in this last game, I mean, we'll see what the trends are. Two games, you can't really say there's a trend too much after just two games. But those are two significant injuries for this team that is desperate for quality players. I mean, let's just be honest, quality players on the field. But you know who's quality? Eric Flynn coming in with the super chat. Thank you so much, Eric. It's always great to see you in here. Hope you're having a fabulous Tuesday. And always appreciate the support and tuning in. And if you guys can't be supportive in ways like David McElrath and Eric Flynn, you know, dropping the super chat, superstars, it's fine. Click a thumbs up on the way in, subscribe to the show, leave us a 5-star rating and review. We always do appreciate that as well. But always really do love and appreciate our super chat givers keeping the lights on for us. We got Phil McLaughlin coming in here saying, good afternoon, Nick, Carl, and Deacon Scott. Are you outside, Nick? Yes, I am. It is a one-bedroom Airbnb, and we have a flight tomorrow that we got to leave here at 6 a.m., so baby's also been very fussy today. So I opted outside versus screaming infant in the background. So we're doing what we can. It'd have been easy to be like, you know what, not today. No, brought the computer. I missed you guys last week with sick stuff, so we're here hanging out. The internet seems to be holding up, and I mean, I carried the heavy you-know-what microphone, so we might as well use it. So yes, outside. I really hope everyone calms down. I am calm, Phil. Don't do this to me. This quarterback and team has time to develop. I'm giving them 8 weeks, and by then we should have a good idea of what we have. Buckham, MHH for life, Broncos for life. I feel like there are some areas where you kind of already do know what you have, but if you're talking Bo Nix, I just worry this entire season, it's not going to be lost, because like I feel like if he was going to be like this elite franchise quarterback, he would probably by the end of the season start to raise above the fray. But you have an offensive line that's underperforming, especially compared to what they're paid. Running back room that, honestly, with Javonte, with how badly he looks, might be the worst in the NFL, might be the worst running back in the room in the NFL. And let's just call it as it is. This might be the bottom five to the worst skill position groups in the entire NFL when you include the tight ends and wide receivers there as well. And then you have an offensive line underperforming. It's hard to evaluate Bo. And I'm not here to make excuses for him. He's played poorly, no doubt. Yeah. But it's almost hard to, like, after 8 weeks, I'll be ready to evaluate them. There's no cavalry coming. You know, this isn't the end of Lord of the Rings, Twin Towers, where Gandalf's with the Riders of Rohan coming over to save the day. There's no reinforcements coming here. We got this team right here, and it could be long. We need the guys that are already here to step up. So we'll see. But it might be very hard to separate the reasons from the excuses of the season when it comes to the Bo Nix conversation and evaluation.
You're completely right. I mean, I will say last year, C.J. Stroud started 0-2. Mm-hmm. Things kind of turned around.
But how many yards did he pass for in that second loss?
Quite a few.
I think it was like 400.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, and he's proving to be a top 10 quarterback already. And so I'm not saying that Bo Nix is going to follow that same trend. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that sometimes a loss, a quarterback can play great and you can still lose, kind of like C.J. Stroud had with that, yeah. You know, or you can have Patrick Mahomes played one of his worst games in football and they still won this last Sunday, mm-hmm. You know? So sometimes it does, like you said, it matters about the players around you. It is hard to evaluate when you have receivers dropping the ball, not getting open. Like you said, offensive line that's struggling. They're not helping this rookie quarterback at all. And we had this little bit of worry coming into the year, especially with the weapons of what could you really get from them. And this is a little bit why I said for the Patriots, I would not start Drake May, because I'm not sure I can trust that offensive line. I'm not sure that he has any weapons. I don't want to put my quarterback through getting destroyed mentally, physically, emotionally, all those kind of things, and then ruin them before they ever get a chance to get going. And so the Broncos, they've got a lot of work to do. You know, I had somebody tell me, hey, Broncos should get rid of Mike McGlinchey. They should get rid of Garrett Bowles, rebuild this entire offensive line. And I'm going, then you're just opening up all these extra holes that you got to fill next year.
Yeah, then we'll be talking. 2028 will be the year then, finally. It takes years to build an offensive line.
Right. And so I'm like, right now, I would focus on the weaponry. Try to keep that offensive line together if you can for a couple more years, and then you can start rebuilding with some younger players. Hope maybe one of these undrafted guys emerge, something like that. But anyway, something that doesn't need to be rebuilt is Mint Mobile. With big wireless providers, what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. Say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. Again, that's mintmobile.com/huddle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle. 45 upfront payment required, equivalent to 15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabyte on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Yeah, it's back to football, obviously. We'll see what happens here. Again, it does feel doom and gloom because it's just the same thing again, right? I mean, the EPA per play so far, I don't know if you saw, we've already have, you know, week 2 in the books. Denver's defense, 10th in EPA per play. Top 10 defense. Now, granted, Steelers offense, Seahawks offense, probably not world beaters. They're going to play much better offenses than that this season. But the offense, 31st in the NFL in EPA per play, only need to be outdone by, I mean, it's bad in Denver, but Carolina's got a different thing going on entirely. That's a plague, scourge upon football eyeballs. But Denver's been bad. But I will say, you know, you're not going to play the Seahawks and the Steelers caliber defense every week, but it doesn't get easier. The next 2 weeks doesn't get much easier. You're going on the road, East Coast, where Denver has just been putrid historically in the East Coast time zone, especially Florida in the month of September. They go to Tampa, who, man, Baker Mayfield, is he real? I mean, gosh, he looks pretty damn good out there in that pewter. And then you, of course, then have to go to New York with that extremely talented defense. So I expect the Broncos offense to positive regress, you know, closer to the mean there. But this looks like they'll be a bottom 7-8 defense or offense. And I expect the defense to regress some too. I think they'll probably end up somewhere in the 17-12 range. injuries will change things, but that's,
yeah,
that's pretty good compared to the holes they have, the investments they have. I mean, defense is overperforming relative to expectation, offense massively underperforming.
Yeah, I was thinking about that of, like I said, for our stock up, stock down. I mean, most of them have, the stock ups have to be on defense, stock downs have to be on offense. I mean, I decided to mix in at least one from each other's side of the ball for both of those. But, you know, like Riley Moss, I think he's done pretty darn well for first 2 weeks of being that full-time starter. And you got some young guys that are, like you said, performing well. Jones at the safety position, I think he's held his own. And, you know, they really didn't invest a ton in him, but I think he's outperforming his contract so far. PJ Locke, other than that, it was a penalty.
No. Boo. Let him play. That was dumb.
I'm with you. I think by the letter of the law, it's a penalty. But there's nothing he could really do in that situation. Like, it's, for me, a penalty should be when a player is doing something beyond the scope of what the game should allow. You know, if you are like holding, you're grabbing somebody, impeding them from their ability. Like, he was just making a true football play to separate ball from player.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even a big hit.
Yeah.
It wasn't even an egregious hit. I don't know.
I know.
Miss me with that. I hate it. I don't hate. Good question here coming in for Victor's game plan. How can we get this dreadful running game going? Without it, Knicks will continue to struggle. It's multifaceted, Victor. The unfortunate reality is teams right now, Denver, I believe they have the heaviest box number through the first 2 weeks of the season, and teams are totally disrespecting the pass game. Bo Nix has not shown that he can throw the ball consistently without putting it in danger beyond 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. He's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the last decade in weeks one and two in passes that travel five or more air yards. So what our team is going to do? We're going to make the rookie beat us. We don't respect the weapons. We don't respect the quarterback's arm right now. The only way they're beating us is if they run the ball. So teams are schematically taking away the run game. And you add that with an offensive line that I do think is underperforming, but I think because of reasons, a little bit of reasons outside the scope of their control. If there's more helmets than coming on defense than blockers, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I mean, the offensive linemen aren't blocking two guys on one play, right? You can't really be doing that. And also the running back room has been dreadful. So I honestly don't know what they can do to get the run game going, other than I would probably be using Knicks more in the run game itself, trying to get creative with the quarterback options, quarterback keepers. We saw that quarterback draw a quarterback run out of empty. I think it was that five wide receivers. I don't know who all of those, the personnel package on that one. I know they split them out, but some more of that. I mean, given Knicks simpler reads, less heavy boxes, making them have to actually defend space because they're not doing it vertically right now. So make them defend it horizontally, hoping to get some better run looks there. But it's not just the offensive line. It's not just the running backs. It's opposing defenses saying you cannot throw the ball deep. You are not a threat there. So we're going to load the box and take away the run. And it's working. I mean, Denver yards before contact, Carl, against the Steelers. I think Denver was in the negatives cumulative in this game against the Steelers. So they were hitting the running back in the backfield more than they weren't in this game, which is, that's only happening if they're completely disrespecting the pass game. And it just, that's beyond offensive line play on the field. So I don't know. It's really, really tough right now. Sean's gonna have to figure some things out because this is his team. Fingerprints all over the personnel decisions. Now, granted, you know, the avenues to adding talent have been limited because of the draft picks and the talent already on the team and the obviously the dead cap hits. But it's a hard position to be right now because there's no respect for the vertical pass game. None. And why would there be?
Yeah. Someone we do respect, though, is Michael Ronquillo coming in saying, good evening, Nick and Carl. I'm building the Broncos. Bo leave. God bless. Bo next. And go, Bo Broncos. And Phil coming in saying, you guys think run pass option could help this team? Yeah, I think that's part of it. There was one player they were showing this past game where Sean Payton was sending in this ridiculous play call. And by the time Bo Nix was able to get it into the huddle, get up to the line of scrimmage, There's only about 5 seconds left before they needed to snap the ball. And I think part of that is, you know, it works well when you've got a veteran like Drew Brees that can spit it out quickly and do all the complicated stuff and play calling. But when you've got a rookie, I think he's got to simplify some of this a little bit more for everybody involved. It just looks like everybody's playing slow. It looks like everybody's a little bit confused on where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, if you want to, like you said, kind of help him out, run pass option, it gives him one or two reads. You know, he's kind of looking at the defensive end. He's looking at the linebacker and making a decision. Mm-hmm. That really makes his job a lot easier. You can't do that an entire game, but you can at least mix in 4 or 5 plays a game where that just helps get the ball out quickly, helps the offensive line, maybe gets you a big play.
I will say, Phil, that from my – I haven't rewatched the second game yet because I've been busy, but I think there is a good bit of RPOs in this offense right now. No, it's not, you know, Mike McDaniel spamming it with Tua with the two speedsters out there, but there have been RPOs looks. It's just kind of like in quick watch. It doesn't feel like it because he's handing it off. Right. It's not the handoff, you know, pull out, you know, quick slant or anything like that. A lot of times the RPO option has been the R. He's choosing the R instead of the P on the RPO. So I have seen RPO implemented from them. What really needs to happen here is not the RPO for me. It's play action. Now, granted, do they trust Bo Nix in the under center game? A lot of it is shotgun right now. There's not a lot of true under center dropbacks from this offense right now. You know, 3-step drop, 5-step drops, let alone without play action. And Sean Payton's never really historically been super heavy play action, at least in the later parts of Drew Brees' years. I think he did do a lot more early on with Brees, but that's something that it's hard to, I know people will say, why are you doing RPO if you can't run? But it still freezes the linebackers for a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of data that just getting that little action in there can be helpful, but do they trust Bo Nix to have his back to the line of scrimmage? He's already struggling with his lower body mechanics, and that's out of, you know, shotgun and stuff that he's been comfortable, something that he's a lot of experience. So now you're adding under center stuff that he hasn't really had that much, but the lack of play action is something that I think is the biggest concern for me and a button that we haven't really pushed yet with this offense through 2 weeks that maybe you might have to break glass in case of emergency there.
Yeah, I think I saw something about how the Broncos were running the least play action when it came to loaded boxes. You know, most teams, when there's a loaded box, it's a great time to run that play action. Everybody's up close, freeze them for that second. Like you said, that half second, get a guy just that little extra step and then let Bo Nix go to work, you know, and you can even get him doing some boot action, play action, get him out of that pocket a little bit. Maybe he feels a little bit better getting on the run, improvising compared to this whole trying to stay in the pocket, do everything that you're supposed to do from a normal offense. You know, and he's going to have to do that eventually. But I'm saying you're going to have to get a little bit more creative to take some pressure off him, take some pressure off the offensive line, and get those weapons a little bit more opportunity to go make a play.
Now, yeah, and I want to give a shout out to Josh Steklian on Twitter here. Now, this is not verified, but Josh does pretty good tweeting out there. He's a good Bronco fan to follow. Just, you know, type in Broncos play action. But from under center, Denver only has 6 play action attempts so far this season from under center. Now, granted, what is the sample of under center play calls with Bo Nix so far even? But that is that's not enough. That's not enough, and that's something that hopefully they can get going there. But, yeah, Broncos only used play action on 15% of the plays against the Steelers, and Nix was 3-for-6 for 61 yards in those play action attempts. So that seems like something that they need to probably look to utilize now. Maybe Payton is not fully Nix is not fully comfortable with it, but I mean, they got to figure out something. So Carl, I'm going to jump in here and steal maybe for stock up here on this because of the offensive side of the ball, because it is hard to find many things to say stock up about. But a stock up, Mike, I don't know if we already got Michael, but I was always stock up Michael Ronquillo. God bless you. I think we already did get that, but I don't know if I got a chance to say hello to Michael too. But stock up for me on offense, Josh Reynolds. I think that he's probably the only one you were going to say as well here. Yeah. he had a good game. Cortland Sutton's been MIA. Now, granted, I think that's more so issue with the, I mean, granted, the first game his fault. Drops, maybe not perfect passes, but like you're a freaking paid number. You're paid like a top 30 wide receiver. You should be able to catch it if it's in your catch radius, even if it's not a perfect ball in space that it should have been a better ball. But that is Josh Reynolds. I think he's playing pretty well. I don't think Denver has, I think he's outperforming Jerry Jeudy so far this season. I'm not sure how Jeudy did against the Jags week two, but he's definitely outperforming what Jeudy did in Denver. Granted, Jeudy had a lot of injuries there, but he's been a fine receiver. Now, granted, Reynolds is probably somebody you'd rather have as your number three or number four on a good team rather than right now your best pass catching option through 2 weeks. But I mean, Denver did not pay him, considering what wide receivers in the open market are getting paid. He was not highly sought after. He didn't get, you know, big money. Calvin Ridley getting giant money for being pretty, you know, mediocre. Darnell Mooney, good game yesterday, but missed a lot of time. He got paid huge money. People could have paid Reynolds. Teams did, weren't really super knocking for him. So he stuck up. I thought he was pretty solid. I didn't have huge expectations for him this year, but he's been at least shown a pulse on offense for a team that has been DOA on offense.
He seems to have been the most trusted receiver by Bo Nix so far. You know, the guy that actually finds his way to get open, finds a hole in the defense. I think that's part of it with some of these young guys. Teams are playing a lot of zone against the Broncos. And speed is great, but against zone, having that intelligence to know where to sit, where to kind of throttle back to kind of open up that window for your quarterback, that plays a bigger part. And so, you know, guys like Troy Franklin, Marvin Mims, that's not a big part of their game right now, is fully understanding how that's going to be. So, yeah, I think Josh Reynolds, you're right, definitely had a nice game. He was on my list, my only offensive player, darn it. But I'll add a non-defensive player. I'll go special teams here. Riley Dixon.
First punt, not so good. First punt, not so good. But, yeah, after that.
But right now, leading the league in punts inside the 20. Now, given he also is leading the league in number of punts, which is not his fault. He's only got one touchback out of his 14 punts so far. He's pinned, what is it now, three times teams back at the 1 yard line, something like that. I mean, it's been pretty impressive for a guy that we were kind of questioning, is he actually even going to be the punter this year? He's really shown, you know, when Sean Payton said, hey, yeah, he won the punting job, it wasn't even close. I think he's really proven that right now, right at this point.
Yeah. He's been good. It's been nice to have the punter do well. I wish the Gunners were doing better. Absolutely silly penalties from McMillan and Patrick Surtain this week in special teams, and a team that just, there's no margin for error there. Yeah. You can't do that. So very, very frustrating on that end. But stock down for me. Speaking of that, it's Surtain for me this week. And this is because, you know, he's kind of superhuman. He's been Denver's Mr. Everything, and he didn't have a good game. I think three penalties, two on defense. Granted, that last one, I mean, I really believe defensive backs have every right to go for the ball just as much as a wide receiver, and his head was around before the ball got there. I don't know. Let him play, in my opinion. You know, let those guys play down the field if their heads turn and they're trying to make plays on the football. But I digress. Surtain, stock down, and this isn't, you know, oh man, Surtain's washed or Denver overpaid or anything. He's still elite. He just didn't have his best game, and he seemed pretty annoyed after the game as well, pretty irritated. So I think that he kind of knew that he didn't have his best performance overall. I mean, was it him that got fortunate that the incredible Justin Fields, George Pickens play? Now, granted, that was a perfect throw and a perfect catch on very coverage. So it's hard to really give too much blame for Surtain on that one. That was, God, that was an unbelievable throw by Fields. He had some really good throws on the day in that first half, but Denver still kept him to 13. But yeah, Surtain, stock down, but it's just because, like, you know, it's like you're buying Apple stock, right? Like, are you getting a lot of value from Apple stock? It's way up here already, right? If it blips a little bit, you're already down. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at with that one.
All right. Well, one that is up is for us is Naj coming in with a 1999 super chat saying, brothers, great seeing everyone, man. I'm sad that I really missed getting to talk to Naj.
Yeah.
He always gets you pumped up. So game was brutal, but after watching it again, it's clear there are plenty of plays out there for us. We will improve and win this week if Peyton steps up and runs the ball. Yeah, I think there's opportunity. I mean, both games, one score games. Both games obviously having red zone interceptions that could have gone the other way, be a touchdown, and you're winning those games. So it's not like the Broncos are getting destroyed and you're going, oh my gosh, this is going to be a completely long season that we stand no chance of winning a single game. It's not that. Mm-hmm. It's just they are a young team. It's going to take time for everybody to figure things out. Rookie quarterback obviously struggling at this time to kind of see things. You're right. He's got to earn the respect of teams. Right now they are loading up the box. He's got to prove to them that he can win other ways. And once he does that, then the run game improves where you can start actually handing the ball off to Javonte Williams and not getting him hit in the backfield, giving him an opportunity to get a little bit ahead of steam. And maybe he can go break a tackle like we saw his rookie season. And now we got some big plays in the run game. So it does. It's just going to take a few little tweaks, you know, receivers catching the ball. One of my stock downs, Greg Dulcich. God, man. Could he have had a worse game? I'm not sure. You know, I think he had like three or four drops. Not a great blocker. You know, his entire game is supposed to be his receiving ability. When he's going out there being a negative in the pass game that way, get him off the field. I mean, he was one of those players before the season started. I said, this is one of those guys that really needs to step up. He's got a little bit of athleticism. He's going to have some plus matchups that he can go out there and win. He can be that big guy over the middle that gives Bo Nix a little bit of confidence. He can go up there and make a tough catch. And he did none of it in this game. And it's hard to fathom that he's going to last past this season. You know, they don't have a choice right now, but beyond this season, I'm having a hard time seeing him be a Denver Bronco.
I'm with you, stock down, because he's finally, you know, healthy. We'll see. Kind of like with Browning, right? But injuries have been a big issue with him. I'm sure he's a little rusty, but you're an NFL player and you got to go out there and make plays when you have the opportunity, especially as you mentioned, he is abysmal as a blocker out there. And if you can't even go out there and make any plays in the pass game, I feel like it's office space. Like, what is it exactly you do here to Dulcich? I know you got the great hair, good looking guy, but we need more than that on the football field. We're not trying to win any beauty pageants here. So yeah, definitely stock down on Greg Dulcich.
Well, talking about beauty.
They don't got anywhere else to go, man. Right. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, talking about beauty pageants here. All right, guys, it's that best time of the year. Football's back. We're talking NFL Sundays, college football Saturdays, and that glorious grind of fantasy football lineups. Got to say, I'm 2-0 in my league right now. This is where your inner GM comes alive, setting the perfect fantasy roster, screaming at your TV, and making last-minute waiver moves that either make you a hero or the guy everyone ridicules in that group chat.
Yeah, but listen, while you're with us getting the lowdown on the Denver Broncos and perfecting your fantasy lineups, don't let your personal grooming become the guy that gets left on the bench. Let's be honest, nobody wants to fumble their grooming routine. That's where Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0 Ultra comes in, acting as your all-in-one grooming playbook. From keeping things sharp down below the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra to taking care of those rogue nose and ear hairs with the Weed Whacker 2.0, this is a lineup that'll keep you looking and feeling like a champ on and off the field.
Join the over 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for kickoff by heading over to manscaped.com. Use the code HUDDLE for 20% off plus free shipping. Trust me, you'll be drafting the real MVP of grooming this season.
That's right. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. Stay on top of your grooming game and be ready for anything this season throws your way. So stock up. Again, besides Manscaped being back on the reads there, always do love that. Stock up. Phil McLaughlin says, our defense better across the league? Only three teams have scored over 27 points this week. Defenses, I think, are better. We also have lost a lot of veteran quarterbacks out there. It's a lot. I mean, six teams drafting quarterbacks in the first round that kind of speaks in the first 12 picks, kind of speaks to the desperation. But teams have really leaned into the – I want to give a shout out to Cody Alexander. He came on the show a couple years last year talking about, you know, Vance Joseph defense, where the Broncos are at. And he had a really good thread Monday, maybe. Just like everybody's going to say, it's the two high safety shells, but it's more than that going on right now. But really what's going on is teams have run the analytics and they've kind of seen like how valuable explosive plays are. and really leaned into, okay, anything but explosive plays. And I think that out of explosive plays on the field, runs only make up 18% of them. So it's much more likely to be a pass, and you want to keep everything in front of you. So teams are inviting you to run the football because it's harder to create explosives that way, and vacating the box and playing more guys deep, bracket coverage, but it's not just bracket coverage. You're still seeing a lot of cover three looks out there, from cover two looks pre-snap, or two high safety shell looks pre-snap, but also a lot of cover four and cover six and cover two from cover one looks pre-snap, where the safety, one of the safeties or somebody will buzz back, or a cornerback will buzz back. Spagnuolo is doing an incredible job with this. McDonald, we've already seen, been doing that. Honestly, Todd Bowles used to be the exotic one. Now he's kind of boring out there. Like, oh, you're just sending linebackers to blitz. Yawn. But maybe not yawn this week. We'll see how Denver looks. But defenses are definitely way up right now. I mean, we're actually pretty close. I don't know if we've reached it yet. And I think scrambles have a lot to do with it, Carl. But I think the EPA for rushing the football is getting very close to passing EPA, which is just never been the case, not even close. And that's just showing how hard it is to create explosives right now. It's just not happening. So especially if you don't have any pass catching weapons worth coverage, you know, playmakers on the perimeter. It's not just guys being schemed open against static pre-snap defenses. They're disguising everything, making everything look the same. Defensive innovation, I think, has caught up / surpassed offense in the last year and a half. So defense is way up, and we'll see. It's always an ebb and flow, right? Ebb and flow. So we'll see what happens here. It's one reason. I mean, we'll see how the season goes right now, but like, the top of this draft looks a lot better defensive talent wise, cornerback, defensive tackle, edge rusher. I might get to the point where it's like, listen, we can probably find and cobble together defense and like scheme things. Just try to take some freaking difference makers on offense, because it's hard to find offense. And maybe that's just us watching, me double watching Iowa and Denver football the last eight. Like, God, I need something offensively. So freaking boring. But although Iowa's got a run game now, which has been pretty great. But defense has definitely been incredible this season, and offense is way down.
Yeah, I kind of appreciate it, because so many of the rules have been slanted to help the offense. So the fact that the defense has still been able to keep up and adjust, and I really think most of the innovation over the last 5 years has been on the defensive side of the ball. You know, you've got Miami running some of their exotic packages on offense with all their weapons, but they wouldn't be able to do a lot of that if they didn't have Tyreek Hill, who's maybe a top 15, 20 receiver of all time with his skill set. You know, Jaylen Waddle, you know, I'm kicking myself because we're just talking about fantasy football. He's on my team, and now his quarterback's down, and so I'm actually getting rid of him. And yeah. That was a tough cut for me. But when you don't have a quarterback that can take advantage of the weapons, it's hard to keep that kind of player on your team. So anyway, like I said, defensive schemes, like I said, McDonald there in week one, what he did with the Ravens last year was incredible. And now he had a lot of playmakers to help him out, but now he's doing that with Seattle as well, doing some great things. So it's going to be tough sledding. And I think Bo Nix, with his game type, if he can start hitting just a couple of those medium passes and get a defense to back off, he has the type of game to take advantage of this defense that says keep everything in front of us, because he can be that guy that's comfortable dinking and dunking down the field. You're going to leave my guy open 5 yards down the field? Okay, I'm going to hit that. And we're going to just go 5-10 yards at a time. He's okay doing that. But like you said, until he makes defenses respect that he can win over the top, you know, teams are playing the Broncos differently than they play other teams. No team would ever try what they're doing right now against the Broncos against the Chiefs.
Or Josh Mahomes Allen.
Would laugh. Or yeah, CJ Josh Crowley. Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah, any of those guys. And so until he does hit those medium long passes and make that defense say, okay, whoops, now we got to get back here a little bit. And he just hasn't been able to do that. His timing, his footwork, everything just seems a little bit rushed so far. He just does not look comfortable.
Nope. Stock up for me, Zach Allen. Honest to God, he's been the Broncos' best player through the first 2 weeks. Sertan's still the most valuable, but Allen has been the best player on the field for Denver. I don't give a flying circus, Monty Python, I guess, about what PFF graded him in the first game, the worst defender on the field for Denver. Bull hockey. I don't know what the grade is for this one yet, if it's out or anything, but he was in the backfield constantly. He has been one of the five best interior pass rushers in football, I think, so far. Now I haven't watched every team, but like, he's been a man possessed out there. And that's even considering you're against two teams who are like, we don't need to be aggressive, putting ourselves in bad situations with a pass game, because Denver's offense is so anemic that like, we can just, you know, play ball control, you know, do the old, water boy, you know, kneel it three times and punt it kind of thing. we're not quite there. But Zach Allen's been amazing. He's still a young player. It's his second year kind of playing this interior position. He's been a monster. And honest to God, obviously watching Broncos no matter what, but like right now he's the reason I'm tuning in. Cause I love watching a good interior defensive lineman, and he's winning a lot up front, getting pressure. It'd be nice if we had an edge rusher to be like super dominant off of him. But he's been awesome. Stock up again. I think wasn't here last week. I would have been stock up for me that game as well, but he's been the best player on the field for Denver.
Yeah. They had him dead last week in PFF. Scott and I both had him as our stock up. Out of 19 players that played on defense this game, where do you think you ranked?
Yeah, say that again. Sorry, I was reading Scott's comment.
Out of 19 players that were graded for the Broncos on defense, where do you think he ranked this week?
I mean, he should be number one. If not, then I don't
should
know.
Should be.
I don't know what.
13th.
What the hell? I don't know.
Not even starter level. So they actually even credit him with 13 pressures in this game.
And he got... I'm flabbergasted, Carl. I'm more mad about this than the game. This is beyond stupid.
Yeah, they said his tackle was a 27.5. His run defense was like a 29.9. And his overall was like a 48-something.
Dumb. I miss me with that. Denver could use a real true nose tackle for him to play off of, no doubt. But sorry, dogs barking in the background, kids screaming. I don't know if you can hear that. Wow, they're loud. Probably about time we wrap it up here. That's stupid. Stock up, Zach Allen, been Denver's best player.
Oh, easy. So I'll stay on that same side of the ball. I'll go Riley Moss. Only allowed 3 catches, 17 yards. You know, for a guy that's playing opposite
big,
of
big penalty, but.
But even there, I don't think that was a penalty. I mean, it was iffy, but both guys hand fighting. Like, to me, if both guys are fighting like that, and he's running with him, it's not like he's grabbing him, trying to hold him back or anything like that. That was the one that I was like, come on, guys. It just, so many of those calls were ticky-tack in this one, and they mostly went against the Broncos. I didn't see the Broncos getting a lot of those kind of calls in this one. And so just a little bit frustrating there. But beyond that, like I said, I thought he held his own, came up, helped in the run game on a few plays. For a guy that's just been put into the fire opposite of an all-pro cornerback that nobody really wants to throw at, although Justin Fields did challenge Surtain in this one, I thought he did fine. Now, he didn't have the toughest matchup by any means. The Steelers have one good receiver, and the rest of them are kind of like where the Broncos are at, just a bunch of other guys. But still, like through two games, I think he's played above expectations so far.
I would agree with you. I think he's been – Broncos have a starter there at cornerback. Now, Moss is still versatile enough, I think, long-term, that you maybe would consider moving him to safety if you had a chance at a generational cornerback in the draft. You know, Denver just needs difference makers. I don't think you can be too picky. They have a cost-controlled starting cornerback there, and it's nice this team is at least finding some pieces long-term. It'd be nice if we could find someone on offense. But the defense for sure. Michael Ronquillo comes in and says, great show tonight, Nick and Carl, on building the Broncos. Believe, God bless Bo Nix, and go Bo Broncos. Yeah, man, that's hopefully we turn it around here. Stock down for me. It just looks like not even like a starting running back right now. I got to figure something out. But Javonte Williams, I know he's still out there because they don't trust anybody else in like pass protection, especially now that Estime's out. But he just looks so washed. So it's sad. It's not all his fault too, because it's the stack boxes, not the play action looks. Teams are pinning their ears back against the run, saying we'll do anything we can to stop the run, but make Bone beat us. Getting tackled in the backfield, it's not good. So stock down for me, Javonte Williams. And it looks like I need to be getting going here. I'm getting the look here.
Okay. I'll finish it off. Stock down for me.
I'm getting Marvin Mims. Sorry. Hi, buddy. Marvin Mims. Yes, good call.
You know, he's been passed by Troy Franklin for offense. Yes. Franklin had 12 snaps on offense compared to 9 for Marvin Mims.
Yep.
For the guy that they said, hey, this is why we're getting rid of Jerry Jeudy, is to give him more opportunities. And he's got that athletic ability to make a guy miss, go get the big play. They do not trust him one bit to be on the field. It baffles me how far that guy has fallen. When they were hyping him up all offseason, and now we get here and they're just like, nope, never mind, not our guy. Mm-hmm. And that's part of why they're missing on weapons right now, is because those draft picks have not, the few draft picks they've used on weapons have not panned out. Dulcich hasn't panned out. Marvin Mims, hopefully Troy Franklin could be something moving down the road. But otherwise, Vele, we'll have to wait and see. He was hurt, didn't play this week. He looks okay. It's, like I said, it's going to be an interesting season. A lot of young guys getting great reps. Jonah Ellis is another one that we could be talking about here. Had a pretty good game. But anyway, I know you got to get going. Good to see you, man. I wish I could have seen you live in person. But next year.
Yeah. Next year for sure. One more stock up. Shout out to Jonah Ellis. Solid game, I thought. Hopefully, maybe he'll get the chance to get the one, the base package reps, because Benito against the run, not great. Very good player still. Love Benito. Edge setting, not his game. But Jonah Ellis gets the sack off of a Zach Allen pressure, I might add. But good to see that. And want to give a shout out to the rookie, somebody who hopefully is a big piece of this team going forward, getting his first career NFL sack. So not a lot of positives from this game. It was kind of like hard to find the stock up stuff, but you know, we're here. There's always going to be some stuff. So we'll see what happens here. And Browning out. We'll see what happens there. And then McGlinchey, is it? I see Michael Marquio saying Palshetsky is going to take over from McGlinchey. I don't know if it'll be Palshetsky or Pert yet. I don't know if that's been announced, but you're down to your third string tackle there, because Quinn Bailey out would have been your starting right tackle, or your second string tackle there. First one off the bench. So I don't know. It's hopefully the injuries don't start piling up, but could be a tough season. But guess what? We're tough. We were born in the fires. We're fine. We're not going anywhere. Appreciate everyone hanging out here. Make sure you're following Carl on Twitter. Carl's at Carl Dumler MHH. I'm at Nick Kendall MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, we're over at facebook.com/MileHighHuddle and facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod. Also, make sure you leave a 5-star review for us over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And as that ticker says there underneath, please subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. Shout out to David Meckelrath, Eric Flynn, Phil McLaughlin, Victor's Gaming, Michael Ronquillo, Phil again, my guy Naj. Great to see you, Naj. Really fun to doing that post-game show with you. And Phil and Michael again. Carl, we'll see you again next Tuesday. Everyone have a great one. It'll get better one day, right? It'll get better one day. But enjoy it, man. Bad football is better than no football. Continue to choose kindness and compassion. Go Broncos.
You've been listening to Building the Broncos. Join Broncos Country's deep divers at milehighhuddle.com to keep the conversation going.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.